You're listening to the best possible taste on West Limerick 102 FM. Now, if your house is anything like mine, chocolate took centre stage at the weekend to celebrate Easter. Well, my next guest is the proud owner of a pastry and chocolate cafe in her hometown of Mitchelstown in County Cork. I spoke to Norma Kelly to find out more about her journey that brought her to the opening of Praline Pastry and Chocolate Cafe. Let's have a listen.
Bon appetit.
Yummy.
Grubs up.
Delicious. Mmm.
Norma, you're very welcome to the programme. You're based not too far from me over in Mitchelstown in County Cork. You are an award-winning pastry chef, I believe, with your own business now, which is a 20-seater confectionery concept, Praline Pastry and Chocolate Cafe. But let's go back to where it all began, because I believe growing up, you loved baking with your mother and your grandmother.
Yeah, hi Sharon. Yes, that's true. My mum was always baking in our house. And certainly when I went to my grandmother's, I always remember baking there, and she was great for making jams and things like that, and so was my mother. But I suppose it's one of those things, we never bought cakes in our house. There was never bought cakes. So I think when I started the business, my parents were amazed at the amount of people that, you know, that purchased cakes and stuff from other suppliers and stuff. But it was just something that was done in our house. I know other things get done in other people's houses, but it was always baking in ours. And certainly, I mean, I used to swap buns at school with the other kids for bars and things like that. Because again, when you're a kid, you don't realise how valuable that is.
And I'm sure when there was a bake sale at school, you brought in lovely things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We used to have a sharing party at Halloween in our primary school, but my mother always sent homemade buns rather than bags of chocolate and stuff. I think though sometimes the teachers may have kept them for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. They get first dibs, I'd say. That has to be one of the perks of the job. Yeah. So did you do home economics at school?
Well, actually, when I was in secondary school, I only did home economics for 1 year, and then I went with science after that. But I always really enjoyed baking at home. I'd be always making dinners and stuff with mum. So we got involved from a young age baking in the kitchen. So it was just natural. So when it came to my leaving cert, or, you know, in the years preceding my leaving cert, you know, there was a lot of discussion about what I'd do. And I suppose I decided that I wanted to actually pursue it as a career. And my best friend was working in a local hotel at the time. And she said, well, if you really think you'd like this, do you want to come in here and work on Wash Up Tonight? When I was about 17, looking for a summer job, and she was already in the hotel. So yeah, I went in, and I have to say, from that night on, I had nothing else ever in my head, and nothing ever crossed my mind to do anything else in my life, my career.
So did you study culinary arts, or what did you do after school?
So I did culinary arts, a BA in culinary arts in, which was Dublin Institute of Technology at the time, in Cahill Brew Street, but it's now TU Dublin in Grange Forman. So I went there for 4 years and did the degree. Following that, I decided I'd stay on and do a master's in culinary innovation and food product development. But while I was doing that, I actually was working in Dublin all the time in different restaurants. And then they asked me if I'd do some part-time teaching in DIT as well, which I did. Which eventually led to a full-time position teaching pastry and chocolate in the college. So after, you know, I always had a very keen interest when I was in college. I used to do competitions in my spare time and things like that. So anything, you know, anything culinary that I could do, and I always leaned to pastry. So I always ended up working on pastry sections, and that was the bit that I loved the most. I was just surrounded by it all the time. And then, you know, looking back, there's no time that I didn't enjoy any part of, you know, my education or working or part-time jobs or working late in restaurants. Like, I made, you know, I still have great friends that I've met along the years in different jobs, but always the kitchen, always the kitchen.
I think it's interesting that you did science at school because a lot of people would say that baking is quite scientific, as opposed to maybe cooking dinners or dishes like that, which is maybe a bit more intuitive, like tasting as you go. But for baking, the oven has to be right, the ingredients must be weighed out correctly, or else things just may not work out.
And certainly we since we've been doing chocolate, I mean, chocolate is really scientific, because you have not only the quantities in the fillings have to be absolutely correct, but then there's a whole thing about shelf life around chocolate, and you're using different sugars, different products. If the balance isn't right, then the if the balance isn't right in the fillings, you won't get the shelf life out of them. And then as well as that, the water activity in the fillings has to be correct, and then the melting of the chocolate, of course, has to be right as well, because if you don't melt it, temper it correctly, you won't get, the shine or the quality of the finish in the chocolates.
And of course, that brings us on to ingredients. Like, it doesn't matter what you're making, be it the dinner, the bowl of soup, whatever it is. If you don't start off with really good ingredients, then you're not going to end up with a nice finished product. And before we talk a bit more about that, you spent some time in France, and having spent time in France myself, you go in to the shops and they have these lovely strawberry tarts. And in addition to the lovely bread, obviously the French baguette, which I used to eat like a bag of crisps and came home with all the signs of it. You go into those pastry shops and those bakeries and look at the counter, and you just wouldn't know what to choose because everything always looked absolutely fabulous.
That's it. And I worked, we when we were teenagers, our parents took us to France on holidays, and I suppose that's where we first fell in love with it. And then I knew that when I was in my third year of college, my international placement, I definitely wanted to go to France. And again, like you with the baguette, I mean, I would just eat baguette all day with some Irish butter on top of this. And we, loved getting the croissants in the morning and all that. And so then I went to France and I worked 6 months in the south, worked at a fish section for 2 months, and then I spent the rest of the time there, working in the pastry section as what we would at the time we were called stagiaires. So you went over and you worked, or we got you got your bed and board, and you got fed, and you got like an allowance for the month. But like it was a wonderful experience. Like we met there's there'd be stagiaires from me all over the world working, in different hotels, and I loved it. And then I suppose I've always had a love of France. We go back now with our kids. Myself and my husband, we started taking our kids a couple of years ago, and every year it's something that it's just somewhere that I don't know why, but I love it. And again, I suppose perhaps it's the breads, the pastries. There's such a culture of like cake and pastry in France, like that. It's wonderful. Like, and but I must say, in since I was growing up, certainly there's a much bigger culture of cake and pastry here now in Ireland, than there was, say, 20 or 30 years ago. That we're certainly catching up. There's so many pastry shops now opening in Ireland, and chocolate is massive at the moment as well.
Well, tell me about opening the business in 2017. Was the inspiration partly because of what you had seen in France?
It probably was. I always wanted a chocolate and pastry shop. I always wanted a pastry shop. Actually, a friend of mine from an old friend from school met me at a wedding once, and she said, "Well, you always wanted your own restaurant." And I said, "Did I say that?" She said, "Yeah, you did. You said that when we were leaving cert." And I said, "Oh, I don't actually remember that." And she said, "Yeah, you did." She goes, "I think it's even written in our yearbook." I was like, "All right." So I guess it was always there in the back of my head. It was one of those things that I always wanted to do. And we didn't come from, like, my parents both worked, but we didn't have a family business or anything like that. But it's just something that got in my head, and it was always in the back of my head. So when I was teaching, I knew I needed to try this out. So I was working in Dublin, And I suppose my husband is local, so I got married locally as well. And then after spending 14 years in Dublin. So the year, yeah, in 2017, we said, right, we'll give it a go. Now, Sharon, I was as green as the grass when I opened the business. I knew I could do pastries, and I could do them really, really well. But from a business perspective, I knew absolutely nothing. That's been a massive education in the last 7 years to get to where we are now. But one thing we always like from the time I opened, we've always had a good name, reputation for a good pastry and now chocolate as well. So that's kind of carried me through. Even when on the business side of things were a little bit shaky at times. But certainly, I suppose there's only one way to learn, and that's the hard way, really, isn't it? So I've learned hard lessons, but I think, it's stood to me now.
I think a lot of people wouldn't go into business if they knew what you now know.
I think you're right, and you have to be a bit. Maybe a little bit stubborn in that when I get a thing in my head, it just has to be done. And I don't think then if I knew what I know now, I don't know. I was so sure that it would work from day one, and that was it. And there were certainly times in the earlier years when it looked like it wasn't going to work, but something would carry me through the next hurdle and the next hurdle, and then. No, and certainly, but then there's hurdles every day, every week in a business, not just when you're starting out. But I suppose when you have the experience of harder times or different experiences, then you start, you can get to figure it out a little bit more. You become a bit more confident in yourself. And definitely for me at the start, although I was confident about my product, my lack of business confidence made it, I found it very difficult. But now I do have confidence that I know if something's thrown at me, like on Monday, one of my freezers went down. So on Tuesday, I had to bring come hell or high water, get a new freezer, regardless of what it was going to cost. But I was like, right, no, we can manage that. Whereas, 6 or 7 years ago, that would have been like a disaster for me. But it's time.
And I think what you're talking about there is probably your gut instinct was telling you that it would work, that there was a niche in the market. And a lot of business people, when they are given advice to up and coming entrepreneurs, is to follow your gut, that it will never take you down the wrong route. And you mentioned your husband there. Is he in the business with you?
No, he's not. He's not in the business with me, but he works for himself as well. He's a quantity surveyor, and he's also self-employed. So he was self-employed before I was. I didn't really fully understand it from his perspective then, but now we are a lot more. I understand him more now, and he's been a great support that way, because although he works alone, and he's happy that way, I think. But he, it is a bit daunting, because you do feel a little bit alone when you are, facing challenges and making decisions. But he's a good sounding board when I need advice and I need a bit of help.
Well, tell me how COVID affected you, because you opened your shop in 2017. So COVID came along in 2020. What impact did that have on you and your business?
So, when we opened, we were very small, in a very small kitchen, but I felt that I had to do, some light lunches and salads and sandwiches and all those other things to get people customers in the door. And we didn't our location original location as well is a little bit out of the way, on the edge of the town rather than on the main street where our new shop is. So I was doing all these other things that we really didn't have a massive amount of space for. There was lots going on. And I suppose maybe the September, October before COVID hit, I made a decision to get rid of all savory in the shop and just do cakes and coffee. Which was a bit of it was a bit dramatic, and a bit risky. But I spoke to my accountant first, and she said, if you think this is the right way for you, then just do it. Sorry, that was a year before COVID, actually. That was 2018. And we were coming into Christmas. So we were having Christmas orders and stuff, and I was getting really busy. And I just concentrated on cakes and pastries and coffee, the coffee trade. And Yeah, we tipped away all through Christmas. And then I suppose coming into February of the following year, which was 2019, I started adding back in a couple of sandwiches. So a few little bits that I felt I could manage while I was doing all the cakes as well, because I felt everything else was taken away from the cakes and I didn't love doing it. So then I started adding in a few small bits of maybe four sandwiches that people could order and stuff. And then that carried us, bits and pieces like that carried us through the next year until COVID hit. And then that was the opportunity for me to really, I suppose, evolve the business and just refine it to what exactly I wanted was a chocolate and pastry shop. So it, we only had about, I think, about 15 seats at the time. So we took them all away. And we start a couple of weeks into COVID, people were kind of saying, oh, is there any way you do a batch of scones or you do me a cake for my neighbor, things like that. So then we started doing Saturdays, and myself and my mom used to bake on Saturdays or Fridays for Saturdays, and people would order and they'd come and collect. And then after a couple of weeks, we got brave and we started turning on the coffee machine. And people were like, is there any chance the coffee machine would be on? And they'd start getting a coffee then with their scones that they'd ordered. And every week we did a little bit more. And we did this thing called cakeaways. So we used to do these chocolate, these cake loaves, and they were fiver each. And we'd have two different flavors every week to go out on social media, and then people would order them. Like one week, I think I had 120 loaves on order that people were collecting. So it really was like, you know, it was something I suppose that we'll never, well, I hope we don't have to face something like COVID again, but it gave me a chance to really try out things. It gave me actually confidence, and the business grew. And local people really wanted to support local business at that time. So whatever you were doing, they were on board and they were buying it, you know, and they were coming in, you know, they were on board anything new that we did. And I know a couple of other local businesses did bits and pieces as well. And, you know, we all helped each other and shared around. And yeah, the local business was really flourished at the time, because it couldn't go anywhere. And people really appreciated being able to get things like that at that time. And then I introduced the chocolate, and I started doing Easter eggs that Easter during COVID, and they sold really well. And then it just went from there. And I'm always careful now about what we introduce, and then, you know, how will it affect? Like, the number one thing for me is the chocolate and the pastry, and I don't want anything else that we incorporate to take away from that, because I think that's what's unique to us, is that it's a chocolate and pastry shop and cafe. We do a selection of sandwiches in the new shop as well. We do soup and we do some savory pastries. And they complement the sweet side more, for me, more than the sweet being kind of an add-on. So you know, and it's working quite well the way it is now. But certainly before, like doing hot lunches and things like that was something I never wanted to do or never liked doing. I'm fine to cook at home, but I don't really like cooking in a professional setting. So it's definitely it definitely I learned a lot through COVID about business, about myself, and about what you can and can't do. And I suppose, you know, there's no limit to what you can do in a business. And people, once you're clear about what you're selling and what you're giving them or telling them, that, you know, they very quickly get on board. You know, your customers do. I think at the start, I was advertising myself as a pastry shop, and then we were serving hot lunches, and we were a bit muddled up, so it wasn't clear what we were. So from now on, you know, from that, I learned, you know, be clear about what you're telling your customers that you're doing, and then it works. And if it's something you love, and you love doing it, you're happier and you're more passionate about it.
Fantastic. Well, tell me then about your, you said you were in previously a bit out of the way, but now you're on the main street. So tell me about moving to the main street in Mitchellstown.
So we've been the original location now is it's our production unit. We kept the production unit here, and we have a small coffee dock for people popping now for a takeaway quick coffee. And then we needed to be on the main street. We established that a long time ago. And I suppose mid summer last year, there was a really good location came available on the main street. And I suppose the reason I say we needed to be on the main street was there's one thing I did learn at the start, was that it is about location, location, location. If you really want to drive on your business, you know, quickly. Where we are is kind of, it's just a little bit out of the way, and there's not much footfall or passing trade. Where we are in the main street, we have a lovely location. You can sit in the window, watch the cars passing, the people passing up and down, and it's always nice. So a really good location came up. It hadn't been my intention, certainly this time last year, to have another shop by the end of 2023. But then when this location came available, I was kind of saying, maybe will I, maybe won't I, or maybe we'll just stay put now for another year or two and see how we go. And then one evening I came home, the lease signed. So the lease went up with the phone number of the landlord. And I came home to my husband and I said, I think I'm going to ring the landlord. And he said, I think you need to. And I said, okay. So that evening I rang him and I went to see it. And you know, Mitchelstown's a small town. So if there's anything going on, you know, you're popping in there, everyone sees everything that's going on very quickly. So one evening in the cover of darkness, I met them late there and went popped in and had a look and came home. I was like, I don't know if it's right. Can't think about it. Went back for another look. And then so by the end of August I had decided, yeah, we were gonna go ahead with it. And thankfully we were open for the 1st of December, which was great. And we had an amazing December. People were very excited that we were new and it was Christmas and everything. So and like the reaction from the locality has been amazing. People were very love really excited about were really excited about the shop, and you know, local businesses were delighted to have another cafe on the main street as well. So that for me has proven to myself that we're going in the right direction, and that all the years that were difficult, that they were worth it. And in hindsight, even though it seemed like, you know, the time would never end, now it just seems like a short time. And what we can achieve when I put my mind to it, I just get on with it.
So you have the new shop now, and it's a 20-seater confectionery concept. So it sounds really lovely. You've won a number of awards as well that we haven't really talked about. But one of the things I want you to just tell us more about is about using other artisan producers' ingredients in your chocolate, and tell me how you've incorporated those into your products.
So we've some great food producers here in around the area around Mitchelstown. The coffee that we use in the shop here is called from Mean Bean in County Waterford. So we use their coffee in our coffee crunch, one of our chocolates. So a couple of years ago we put together a signature selection, and it incorporated different produce from around the area. So we use the coffee that we were serving in our shop, which made sense. Galtee honey, which is produced here about 10 minutes drive from the town out near, and it's actually over the tip border in Tipperary, because here in Mitchelstown we're where the three counties meet, Tip, Cork and Limerick. So they're over in just near Glengarry Wood, which is just about 10 minutes from the town. And Aoife there has the bees, and her parents had the bees before her, and she does wonderful honey. So we use her honey in our chocolate and orange, dark chocolate and orange molded chocolate. And then of course we have 8 Degrees Brewing here in Mitchelstown, which recently was taken back over by the guys, Scott and Cam. And I was in touch with Caroline, so we decided we'd do a stout flavored chocolate ganache. So that's in the country now as well. Yeah, so would you know try to I try to use, you know, a couple of local bits to, you know, that just to signify the area, especially, you know, because you've got we're on now that we're on the main street as well, and we have this lovely chocolate counter, we can really display what we have.
And the gift boxes, we must mention the gift boxes because sustainability is very important to you, and your gift boxes are a reflection of that.
Yeah, so I suppose and lots of business owners will tell you packaging is a bit of a nightmare to try and organize. But just last year, I just, there's a company in Belgium that do really nice packaging, and they have a range of packaging that's made from the shell of the cocoa bean. So it is compostable. But there it's a lovely feel to it as well. And you know, that every time you get a new batch of them, the shade will change slightly on the packaging because it's from a different batch of cocoa beans, which I think is really cool. And we so yeah, so I was very excited about those. So the chocolates, certainly all our packaging isn't compostable. It's recyclable, but as far as possible, we're trying to get more sustainable packaging. So I was very excited when I found those. And they're really, for me, they really fit well with our chocolate. And because they're a good quality pet box as well. And you know, when you say compostable, sometimes you think egg carton, and you know, is it going to be really nice? But it's a really feel, really nice quality box. And the fact that it's coming from chocolate as well, I'm really excited about it.
Fantastic. And then just to finish up, Norma, tell me about the awards that you've won over the years.
So back in 2015, before I opened Praline, obviously, I did a competition called the World Chocolate Master. It's the cocoa bar. So I use cocoa berry chocolate. It's a sustainable French brand of chocolate. And they operate the World Chocolate Masters. And in 2015, I did the UK and Irish Heat, which was a day-long competition. We had four elements. We had to do a showpiece, molded chocolate, a tart, and a takeaway chocolate concept. And I trained for months for it. And I suppose really I learned so much about chocolate, and I got so much information from it. And I really enjoyed doing the competition. And that really kickstarted chocolate for me, really. And then I won, was excited to win the molded pralines, which I did an Irish whiskey flavored molded chocolate. And then the guy who won it overall, he won the other three categories, but I won the molded chocolate category. So I was delighted with that. And then in 2019, just before COVID, that Blasnahair, and before that, we won a gold medal for our praline opera gâteau, which you'll find in one of our individual pastries in the counter. And then we also won a silver medal for our chocolate fudge cake. And chocolate fudge cake is probably one of our is our biggest seller of our chocolate of our occasion cakes. And then last year we got a bronze medal. We were looking to come away with a bronze medal for our signature chocolate box.
Fantastic. Well, listen, congratulations on all your success to date, Norma. It's been great to hear all about it, and thanks so much for talking to me today.
Thanks so much, Sharon. I appreciate it.
You're listening to the best possible taste on West Limerick 102 FM.